I was having iftar with a friend of mine, and she said to me, like, straight up, like, when I found out about your podcast having this Afro-Arab identity as one of the main themes, I was offended. She said, I felt like you were trying to separate us, and I've always considered you Black. And I said, but I'm not trying to create distinctions here. We're trying to celebrate both and have both identities. Go on the flip side, my Arab cousin says, why are you trying to dilute the Arab in your identity? It's like there's rejection on both sides in embracing the fact that you can have both identities. Does that make sense?
100%. I
like
get
when
that.
When someone is calling me Baguzi, which is racist, for saying I'm Afro-Arab because she thought that I was embracing an Arab identity. But she thought I was embracing an Arab identity more than my Black identity. And I was like, did you miss the Afro part? Like, you just saw the Arab part and you skipped the Afro part. But I think it just showed me that this space, or people, as we call ourselves, like the children of the Indian Ocean or whatnot, it's an identity that we've lived both as Black and both as Arab, and we've faced rejections on both sides. And even people within respective communities from there have their reservations about how Arab or how African we are. And I found that really interesting. I think I can't wait to have that perspective and just see, like, okay, so you automatically think that meaning Baguzi, kwa sababu I said Afro-Arab identity, or I said I wanted to create a podcast for us and other people who have similar experiences. So I got both sides. And then my Arab cousin was like, who dilute, like, why do you want to dilute your Arab? I don't know. You guys didn't get any responses like that?
I didn't get any responses like that, but I did tell my parents, for my friends, I mean, but when I did tell my parents about the podcast, my mom was just like, okay, cool. Just make sure you do blah, blah, blah. Like, it was completely, she didn't understand it. My dad was sending me, like, history links, and I have no idea.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Who's singing?
Sorry, guys, my sister is singing. Sorry. Aisha, shut your mouth. You can hear it singing. Yeah, you're just here giving you Beyonce vibes. Shush.
So I was saying that my dad started sending me, he got a little bit excited. He started sending me like videos of our Zanzibari histories and Swahili histories and with the Arabs and stuff like that. Just a bunch of things. And I think at some point he was just like, okay, it's good to talk about this. Just remember that I know you are very, how do I say this in English? How do I translate what he said in English? Okay, I'll say it in Swahili and then you guys can translate. He said, usisahau tu wesi mwafrika peke yake. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I'm so much, I'm like, I am African power, Black power, we're African. It's like, yeah, but you never live Ghana and you don't even know like the full scope of what it is to be an African.
Yeah, so he was basically saying, don't forget you're not all African in the sense that you haven't lived there. So maybe not so much about who you are, but don't speak
but
for other
also
people.
But also that point is there, that I can understand and I can respect that because it is true, but also because... Also, I'm always into like, I think I identify more African than I am Arab. And he's just like, don't forget that you've got other, you've got other things in you. So don't start abandoning that part of your identity. I think it's hard for my parents to understand one thing. I think you're right. You know how you said your cousins from the Arab side are just like, you're trying to dilute our blood. And then the African side is like, you're trying to do this. I get it because I somehow get it from my dad. Well, he didn't say it now, but he's constantly reminding me of it, like throughout. Mm-hmm. And my mom specifically as well. But I think it's, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a Swahili thing or our cultural thing. I get that. I get that we come from such a mixed pot of ethnicities and history. Like we've got, it's so appropriate when we say we're a product of Indian Ocean. Ever since I've heard it, it just resonated with me so much, because when you look at the history of Zanzibaris or Swahilis, we are pretty much like a mixing pot of so many different cultures, like the Gulf, the Africans, the Indians, the Indonesians, the Goans. It's just everywhere, anywhere those ships and anywhere those people traded, we have some kind of DNA in us about them, of them. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think growing up for me, it was a big, in Dubai, I think it was, I struggled a lot with the identity crisis, because everyone around me knew where they're from, what language they speak at home, they know what they are, everything is done. But when you come to like my side, my community, everyone is just like, yeah, we're Arab. And then you look at the mirror, you're just clearly not Arab, guys. Like, what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? But I'm glad that my dad especially played a big part to constantly remind me and educate me of like our history. So I am very thankful for that, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But like you go through your own journey to appreciate who you are. So for me, I think specifically in my family or my surrounding, there's more appreciation for one side rather than the whole pot. You know, like especially the African side gets very little credit. I don't know about your family.
Do you think it's because you live in the Middle East instead of, TZ?
I'm not very close to my TZ side, more like a Kenyan side.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm just like really happy to embrace it now. And it's a long time coming. I think when I was growing up, we were just like these third culture kids who went to like schools that were very international. And then you grow up at a home where you've got both cultures combined, but when you visit this side of the family, you're not Sukuma enough. Sukuma is the tribe in Tanzania.
Right,
when you go to this side, or you're not Omani enough. Like, there's always, like, I think when I was in my Arab side, I felt the comments about color. Like, then I was very conscious that my color was not like this, because they used to talk about it. And then when I used to go to the Sukuma side, they used to talk about my tabia, so my mannerisms of like, because they're also Christian, which is a different faith from ours. And for a long time, like when I was younger, I wrestled with it, but I feel like now I embrace it. Like, I think I'm both. I'm happy to be both and still be a very international sort of human being. But I feel very connected to activisms like the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm very much an activist for Palestine and freedom and liberation for the Arab and the Middle Eastern world. And I don't feel, for the first time in my life, I don't think I need to separate both identities. I think we are an Afro-Arab identity. We're a hyphenated identity. And unfortunately, one identity usually is not celebrated as much as the other, from what I see. And I think this podcast will challenge that. I think we'll challenge the anti-blackness in our community, the issues we have in our community about control or whatnot, but also to celebrate our contributions in literature, in how we've contributed as activists wherever we live. And I'm proud.
I think for me, I'm gonna come into it with like a different perspective and say, like, how I view it is like 100% we're black, you know what I mean? Like, we're all black. So the whole like Afro-Arab identity is cool and everything, but like at the end of the day, when someone comes up to you and is like, so how do you see yourself? I'll be like, I'm a black Muslim. You know what I mean? And maybe that's just because I was born and raised in Kenya, and I didn't really have that, like, I wasn't really like I didn't really go to Tanzania and meet the Arab side, or I didn't really go to, let's say, Oman for the longest time. I think the first time I went to Oman, I was like 15 years old. So like majority of my life has always been in Kenya. So we didn't really grow up with that, like, okay, how any Waarabu? We most of the time grew up with like how any Waswahili. You know what I mean? But I always knew that side of me existed. But then in my head, I'm just like, okay, guys, someone comes up to me, I'm black, I'm Muslim, I'm a crazy person, and I'm about to change the world. But then at the same time, it's like, it's very interesting to hear, like when you go to your cousin's house and they're like, oh, Maisa, why is your hair like African? And I'm like, you know? But then you go, oh, yeah, but... it means like put chemicals for the guys who would, but like it's like because you don't have certain like characteristics of an Arab, all of a sudden they don't even consider you an Arab. You know what I mean? So it's like you grow up in a world where if you don't speak Arabic, it's like you grow up in a world that has already rejected you from like being who you're supposed to be. So you're just like, you know what, cool, I'm still me, I'm still Muslim at the end of the day, I'm still gonna rock my afro, my curls, I don't give a damn. So like deal with it at the end of the day. So it's like it's gonna be interesting learning about, because like everyone has different stories of you and Mufi have like spoken about, so it's interesting to see like the different perspectives of it all. And like it will be interesting to one day, like someone can just come up to you and be like, oh wow, you're beautiful. Oh wow, you know, like cool hair. Oh wow, like you speak nice English, you speak nice Swahili, you speak nice Arabic, instead of like just generalizing us all the damn time. So it will be interesting later in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I do. I can do better, but I do.
That you speak Arabic.
I think in my experience, I will not say that it doesn't make a difference. I think I've seen, like I've got family members that don't speak Arabic, and I can see there's a few differences here and there when it comes to being treated and being addressed. But does it make a humongous difference? Mm-hmm. No. But I have to say that, yes, I can see a difference. I can see a difference. I think there is a few differences here and there. I get like a little, you get away with a few things, you know, you get looked at a little bit different. Some people will be like, ooh, you're one of us. I wasn't looking for your validation, but okay, cool, thanks.
I think for a long time, I felt that because I didn't speak Arabic, I was already rejected and I was okay with it. But I agree with Raisa in the sense that I've always, if someone asked me for the longest time who I am, I'd always say I'm an African. Like I'm a pan-Africanist. I've never had any oomph in me for pan-Arabness or whatnot in my life growing up. Even now, I don't think. But I very much felt, I think it's a mixed bag. Because when I think of the books I read or the literature I enjoy, I really like, or Middle Eastern writers, Edward Said, shout out to Edward Said, always, in terms of like literature, but in terms of icons or political thought, I've always thought like Nyerere was something else, Michelle and whatnot. I've always referred to the African leaderships or whatnot. So I think some people may call it code switching, but it's maybe the benefit of choosing which one. But
But
definitely, like, when I, for a long time, I was just like, even when if the category presents itself of, like, black Muslim woman, that's where I see myself. Without thinking that I'm rejecting another side. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes sense. For me, I don't know. I wish it was like that for me as well. Sorry, Raisa. I think I wish it was for me like that as well. Like, I'm just, I never really, you, how you said, even though you were confused and not sure where you fit in, you always knew that you were black. Like, you knew, always knew you were African as well. For me, I knew that because that's what I've been told. Does that make sense? because I didn't grow up back home. I grew up here. Very metropolitan place. Very, literally, I went to school with all kinds of identities and all kinds of ethnicities and nationalities. So you kind of just fit in because, you know, everybody, there was a certain style. It's either American or British. Do you know what I mean? But what are you? I'm black because I'm clearly black and because I've been told I'm black. But can I identify in what that is? Can I identify with what black is and what black experience is at that time? No, I didn't. So I think for me, that's where the confusion was. Like, I very much identified with Arab culture and Arab struggles to a certain extent, of course, because I grew up here and I was surrounded by them. But like, I can't consider myself Arab because clearly I'm not Arab. But when you go home, it's like, oh, you've got some in you, but you're mostly black. Okay, but what is black struggles? What is black culture? What is, oh, I struggled with that for a long time. And then, you know, you grow up out of high school and, or as you grow up, you experience a few things because, you know, as a black person, you will experience those things, in especially a foreign environment and things like discrimination and racism. And you're just like, okay, yeah, I think I know what that is. And then when I went to Australia, I think that is when I got really connected to my black identity. I think when I went to Australia, which is very ironic because it's like a land of the whites. But yeah, I don't know if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like when I went to Australia is when I really got identified with like what my black is, if you know what I mean. Because then I was surrounded by black people and I was learning a lot about different black cultures within Africa. When I say black, I mean, for me, I mean Western, Northern, Southern, Central, Eastern, and seeing the differences and the similarities and the way we are. And it's like, oh my God, we're the same. And I think from those experiences is when I learned more about my black side. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I also think, the place that you're at plays a huge role. Because if you're like Mombasa, Tanzania, like Dar es Salaam, if you're mixed Afro-Arab, they know. It's an identity that they've been exposed to a lot in their history. What was strange was when I moved to the UK, people thought that I was either Ethiopian, Trinidadian, or Dominican. Because they couldn't wrap their heads around someone being black and Arab. Which is something that's very common if you're in this side of the world. But if you go to the States, they think you're Latina or you're just mixed race, you're biracial. So I think that how people see you and the experience you have however you see yourself is very much determined in how that locale determines how they see you. And I think growing up, what's important was really for me to just be okay with who I am. I am a black Muslim woman. I am also an Afro-Arab feminist. You know what I mean? Like, there's just whatever, however many identities I have or choose to have or choose to change into, I need to be okay with it. And I need to share that approval or that validation that maybe I needed more when I was a kid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah. At some point I struggled with, even though fighting with the world and trying to like learn about my own identity and trying to figure myself out where I fit in, or rather who I am rather than fitting in, just who I am and how I work and how I identify myself. And finally, I've come to terms and understanding what it is to be African or my African side or my Africanness. Then I get challenged like, you don't look African. How are you Kenyan? How are you Tanzanian? You don't have that look. You don't understand. I was ready to throw hands when those papers come up. Oh my God. Babe, at the beginning, I used to get legit offended. You don't look Kenyan. And this is coming from Kenyans, by the way. This is coming not from white people. This is coming from Africans themselves. oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Kenya. It's like, no way, even me. Like, I'm Kenyan, Tanzanian. And they would be like, literally side eye and then a mouth expression, a facial expression. And it's like, you don't look it. And I'm like, dude, I expect that from that person, not from you. Like, what do I have to do for you to approve of me as a Black woman or as an African or as a Kenyan? Because I don't have like a darker skin, or because I don't have like certain features on my face. What is it? What is it that you, what is it that it's a shame that such comments come from? I'm telling you, some days I was ready to throw hands. Like, I wasn't even ready. I didn't even want to talk. I wanted to punch somebody in the face.
You know what my favorite question is? Like, it's funny because like you can just be like, so what do they look like? Show me a picture. That will shut them up. At the end of the day, I feel like education is key. Like, we would, like, for instance, like my experience in Kenya, like, there's no one. There's like a lot of people you will meet that don't know you and like don't know, like, they don't know your history, nothing. They'll be like, Lisa, are you really Kenyan? Like, are you really Kenyan? And you're just like, dude, look around you. Like, we literally live in a multicolored, like, country. You can be Kenyan, have the most beautiful dark skin. You can be Kenyan and have, like, light skin. But people do not understand that in Kenya, you can, like, even around the whole world, actually, that you can, like, the color of your skin or how you speak or how you dress, for instance, should not, like, it should not be like something, oh, she can't be Kenyan because she's wearing shorts. Oh, she can't be Kenyan because she doesn't know how to cook ugali, for instance. Sorry, guys, I'm back with food. But, like, it's these little things that it's just like, let's be serious. Like, I feel like if we learned these things in school, which I'm 100% sure we didn't learn these things in school, then life would be so much easier to have these sort of conversations. But when you try and explain to people, they think that you're trying to argue with them, you're trying to do this. Nowadays, when people are like, oh, you look Brazilian, I'm like, hey, okay, all right, let's go for a carnival. You know, I'm ready. Like, I'll get you a visa too. Let's go. So it actually comes to a point where you're tired of arguing about who you are and where you're from to people who just don't want to, like, understand or listen. You're just like, you know what, it's okay, it's fine. Like, and I think that's actually wrong of, like, maybe for me, because, like, maybe I should be trying to tell people, listen, this is how it is, this is, like, this is where I was brought up, this is who I am. But then in a sense, I've just been like, okay, you know what, like, what's happening? Why do I have to keep explaining to you where I'm from or like
who I am? I don't feel I owe that to anyone anymore. I think when you get older, it just doesn't matter. I think identity just exists in like such a big flux. Like, everything is constantly moving. Because you can look at yourself in terms of race, which is a social construct, and just be like, yeah, I'm Black, or I'm Black and Arab, or whatnot. But what determines these things? Is it language? So what if I have someone who's my cousin and all Arab, like, she looks fully Arab, but she doesn't speak the language. But Mufi speaks the language. But people see Mufi as Black because of her skin color. But what makes you Arab? Is it the fact that you can speak the language, or the fact that you've lived there, or is it how you're cultured? And what makes you African? Is it if you, I don't know, you vote here, or if you make ugali, or if, you know, what makes you Black? Like, is it just as simple as skin tone? And I think if it gets even more complicated when we start looking at, like, nation states. Like, I'm Black, but I have an Omani passport, so I'm Arab now, according to this piece of paper. Even if society doesn't see me completely this way. I'm Arab, but I have a Tanzanian passport, or I have a Sudanese passport. And now we're giving power to how we're documented. And sometimes maybe we're giving too much power to how identity defines us, or how people identify us. And I think it's just, I don't know, identity is a weird one. People have been trying to figure it out for eons.
Eons is the right word, yep. I think it's because humans, we put a glass ceiling for ourselves. Like, what is identity? I just feel like that's such a, it's such a box. It's like, it's a box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a constraint on its own. Like that question on its own is just so limiting. Like, why are we putting limits to what we are? Are we like, not people or species that are constantly evolving? Are we not constantly changing? Are we not constantly learning? Are we not constantly meeting people? Like, isn't life about going out there and meeting people and just connecting with people, connecting minds and connecting ourselves with other people? Like, when you find, let's say I'm from Kenya. I grew up in Kenya. And then I suddenly met a Viking. I connected with a Viking more than I have ever connected with a Kenyan. Does that, and Raisa, it's a hypothetical question. First of all, I would love to meet a Viking, okay? I'm obsessed. But my point is, like, do you know, like, if we're out there and we're living life out there and we somehow find roots somewhere else and we identify with them, we connect with those environments more than we connect with anything else, or as much as we connect with our own background, and then someone comes out of nowhere and be like, yeah, but you're not from here. I just feel like, I don't know, just something doesn't feel right with that. Do you know what I mean? Why can I not say that this is me as well? This is who I am as well. This is part of me. Even though I might not look, you know, I might not be white, blue-eyed, and in, you know, straight hair or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just because I connect with this land or with these people doesn't mean I'm not part of it anymore, especially if I've spent so much time here. I don't know if I'm making sense, but like, I just feel like identity is just so constraining.
I think, like, at the end of the day, it's like the world loves labels. Everything is labeled, from the bed we sleep in to the food we sometimes, guys, me and my food, but anyway, the food we sometimes, like, everything is labeled. And like, it comes to a point where even if you don't know that you're labeling someone, you're going to end up labeling them. And I think that's where the problem comes. It's like, okay, we are Black, okay, we're Muslim. If you want to know more about me, ask me. I will explain to you. I will go into detail about who I am and what I am. But then if, like, we start starting with, oh, we're Black, oh, okay, but, like, sometimes we could have, like, this blood in us. Sometimes we could have, like, this blood in us. And then it just all becomes, like, okay, where are we going? What's happening? Like, why is it getting complicated? But, like, the world that we live in nowadays, it's just like the labeling is so much, like, it's so much that I think, like, we've all gotten confused that even us ourselves, we're starting to label ourselves. But like, we need to come back, we need to take steps back and be like, okay guys, no more labeling. Like, how do we go from so much labeling to, like, not labeling ourselves? Like, why do we have to constantly label this. And even hairstyles nowadays, it just used to be cornrows. And before you know it, it's like, oh, butterfly cornrows. And you're just like, what is going on? Like, can we just calm down for a bit? Let us catch up to the world.
And then going into
what is that? Too much labeling. It's just like, where are we going with all of this labeling?
I think, like, that because there are structures and there are systems that determine and make it necessary for an identity to exist or someone to take affirmative action to say, this is who I am or this is how I identify as. But it's interesting. Like, I think especially our generation, or we live in a time where, I was talking to my younger sister, she's like 10 years younger than me, but she's like, it's so important for her to state that I am Omani, Yemeni, Sukuma, Tanzanian. Like, it's like, and I am also a Muslim, and I'm also a feminist, and I'm also a doctor, and I'm like, we're over explaining ourselves. And maybe I guess there is importance in how one sees themselves. I guess the problem might come when other people decide for you or assume, like, she's racist because she's got Arab blood, or she's not like us because she's got black blood or whatnot. Like this stupid backdated ways of thinking, instead of thinking of people are mixed nowadays, cultures are mixed, we're all in this big mashup.
I think like, I feel like with what you just said, like there's some countries, I'm not going to mention countries just in case we end up going to shoot a podcast in those countries, but like there's some countries where they actually do not see themselves, especially in Africa, where they actually do not see themselves as black. They will always stick to, I am Arab. I am Arab. I don't want to know anything else, but I am Arab. When you ask them, but see, you're African. Like, what's going on? No, I am Arab, Arab, Arab. Yeah, but like, when it's your identity, hey, yo, it's like, I don't see myself as black. And you're just like, but where are you? Like, look around you. Look at the countries that literally neighbor you. Look at where you're born. Look at the things that you have. It's like, no, 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 no. It's like, it's sort of like they're ashamed of it to some extent. And it, like, for me, it doesn't make any sense because, like, it, black is beauty. Black is everything, you know? But it's like, okay, all right. You know, like, what can we do? What, how can we find ways to, like, educate different people? Like, listen, listen, this is who you are. This is what you are.